So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. We're going to be looking today at Proverbs 15 and verse 3. But before we do that, we're going to commit our time to the Lord and ask for his grace. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we look at your word this morning, we pray that we would understand it, that we would know how it applies to us, that we might know how we should live before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me read Proverbs 15 and verse 3 to you. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. So as Tony reminded us yesterday, Proverbs are about wisdom. They aren't commands or prophecy, but are an opportunity for us to grow in the wisdom of God. That wisdom is accessed by a right understanding of who God is and what he means for our lives. To fear God is to hold him in your life as the one from whom all blessings flow, the one to whom we will all give account, and the one from whom eternity and joy emanate. So when we grasp that, we are beginning to understand what the fear of the Lord actually means. Well, our proverb today speaks into that very understanding of who God is. And it really just helps us to stop and to think through who it is that watches over us. And it tells us that God sees everything in everyone's lives. There's nothing that is hidden from God. It's all laid bare. As the New Testament tells us, there is it's not that we can hide ourselves or anything of the things that we do from God. For those who understand who God is, this is a joy to know. But those who do not understand who God is, well, they will find themselves filled with dread. Let me explain. Now, if you view God as a dictatorial leader, as someone you're afraid of or unsure about, then to know that you're being watched will not sit comfortably with you. If you do not understand who God is, then you're going to fear that, rather like people fear that Big Brother is watching, that the government somehow is getting into our lives and knows things about us that we don't really want them to know. And when we feel like that, it will make us want to hide and to rebel. Those are the two responses of fearing something that you don't understand. Now, there will be concerns about who God is, or how God will use that information that he has on us against us. We'll be worried about that if we do not know who God is. And if you have experienced overzealous or legalistic Christians who are meant to represent God to us, then there will be real cause for concern, because we will equate the behaviour of those kinds of Christians, or those kinds of people who suggest that they represent God, we'll assume that that's what God must be like, and that will cause us concern. On top of all of that, of course, there will be that acute awareness in our lives that our lives are a mess before God, that they are not right in God's sight, and that there are things in our life that, well, we actually do deserve the wrath of God upon our lives because of that. So there will be those two things. There will be a misunderstanding of who he is, and also a realization that our lives do not stack up when God scrutinizes them. So the thought of an omnipresent God who is always there, or an omniscient God who knows all things, it will freak you out if you do not know him. It has to, because you don't understand where he's coming from. But if, on the other hand, you do know God, you know about his justice and how wrong things will be accounted for, and how every payment of sin will be collected. Yet on top of that, you know God's grace, you know his grace poured out, how in the person of Jesus Christ, every sin and its punishment have been paid for you. Then you will begin to see how having a gracious, loving God watch over you is a good thing. So once you've begun to understand that God isn't there as this ogre, and he's peering into all the parts of your life in order that he might pick off all of these particular sins and hold you to account for them. Once you have realized that God already knew about the sin problem and has provided the solution in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you begin to understand how good it is to have God there watching over you. Knowing how difficult life can be and how fraught with its trials and its temptations, with its temptations, many aspects of our life are, then having a God who knows and watches over you, who is not there to trip you up or to make sport of you, but rather to build you up and to encourage you, it can only be a good thing. Then if God sees and knows what we go through, when we come to him and we pray about these things, he knows how we're dealing and he knows how he can help us in the midst of those situations. In Hebrews, we have read there, don't we? We're talking about God having one sacrifice for sin in the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10 and 16 to 18. And this is the quotes from the Old Testament that help us to understand how God is at work in our lives. Now, this is the covenant that I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he added, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these things have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So God is showing us that he has provided for the forgiveness of all of our sin. He has provided in all of those ways. And so when he watches over us, he's not watching us in the same way if we know who he is than if we don't know. Now, what makes a person wicked or good is not simply the deeds that they do, but rather who it is that they trust. Many of the acts of good and bad that we know in our world today, some of them, if they are done with selfish motive behind, well, whether they appear good on the surface, they may still be wicked in God's sight. So there has to be much more than just the deed that's at play here. And the understanding is then that it's who we trust. And all of us, we all have things in our lives that deserve the wrath of God and the label of being wicked because we've turned our back on him or walked away from him, not interested in him, or continue to do things that we know are wrong. Yet all those that trust in God, in the God who watches over us and sees all, know that he has supplied the remedy in Christ. And we are declared righteous, not because of anything good that we have done, but because of what Christ has done. We become good in God's sight when we accept his salvation. Now, if you are a Christian then this morning, it is good news indeed that God watches over you. If you are not a Christian, then let me suggest that you seek the Lord while he may be found, and that you would call upon him while he is near. Then you too will be declared good and have your sins forgiven. And you too will know the eyes of a loving Father watching over you. This is good news indeed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that it is good to know that your eyes see all that we do, know all about us, Lord. And we know that sometimes we get things wrong, and so we ask for the forgiveness of our sin. But we praise you that you come towards us in love when we know you, when we trust you. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd bring everyone, Lord, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. We pray particularly for our family members and friends, Lord, that don't know you this day. Open the eyes of their understanding, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.